Hi all and welcome. So this is the very first episode of our new Authentic Achievements podcast, which is designed around the book that's coming out soon, Authentic Achievements, the 7 secrets to building brave belief, unstoppable sales, and turning your leaders into talent magnets for guaranteed sustainable growth. And it's built on 30 years experience doing this for organizations globally. But as part of that, I had the joy of being able to interview some tremendous leaders from around the world about their authentic achievements. And that's what gave me the idea for this podcast. And I'm delighted today to be able to introduce the fabulous Mike Roberts, who is my very first guest on this forthcoming series. So Mike, welcome.
Thank you so much, Kim Adele. I really, really appreciate the opportunity. And amazing to be your first guest.
Oh, I'm thrilled. So, Mike, you and I, we met last week, didn't we? And totally hit it off. And I love your energy and passion for your business and for people and for the fact that you focus on doing what you do really well and letting that be what speaks for you rather than going out and trying to create noise about what it is you do. You let your work speak for you, which I think is just amazing. And that's when we kind of started talking through your journey. So what would be great is if you could just start by telling us a little bit about your history so far. You know, what is it that you've been doing and what are you setting off to achieve next?
Yeah, of course. So if someone was to land on my LinkedIn page today, for example, they will see that I'm a specialist in email encryption and e-signatures. So basically, I provide software to companies around Europe. Behind the scenes, I also have my own business called Making Digital Real, which is helping people do exactly what I did, which was build a business and a brand and be successful against all the huge corporate competition out there, just by knowing how to utilize LinkedIn correctly. But my history goes back to left college at the age of 19, never went to university, hardly any, you know, I didn't have any degrees or a qualification. So I started out on telesales, moved to field sales. So there I was at the age of 22, knocking on doors with a clipboard, selling franking machines to businesses. And you know, I did that for many, many years and I did it really, really well. And suddenly I got into a very fortunate position where I just became addicted and hooked on sales and learning the psychology of a salesperson, you know, understanding the psychology of the buyer, you know, started looking at the buyer seller dance and realizing that we were, you know, in 2010 and managers were still training their salespeople the same way that they were doing it in the 80s and 90s. And even in 2010, I got thinking, hang on a minute, there's technology that's available to us that are changing the way that people sell, but nobody's doing anything about it. So way before the pandemic, I was one of these people that during our chat earlier, I was telling you I'm very unemployable. Because I don't do the driving 3 hours to sit in front of a decision maker, driving 3 hours back with nothing but I'll think about it in the car. And I thought, no, I'm going to go digital. I'm going to start doing things electronically that benefit me. I'm going to throw the whole buyer-seller dance out of the window, stop getting addicted to hopium and just working on hopes and dreams and things like that. And just figuring out how I can automate the sales process, which led me to building the business that I'm doing today and showing people how to do it using great tools like LinkedIn. So it's been an amazing journey. And it all happened, as you know, when I was 38 years old. So my message would be never, ever think that it's too late to become someone completely different and build an empire of your own. I did it now and I've just turned 40 and now it's just beginning.
I love it. I love that we have a similar-ish background. You know, I equally have no degree, no qualifications. And sometimes that can be the thing that we try and use against ourselves, don't we, to hold ourselves back. It's like, well, I can't do this because, you know, I haven't got the right degree or I haven't got this or I haven't got the something else. But actually, it's about you and what you bring. So what I loved from listening to your story is you really started to focus on what it was you were trying to do. So I loved the sales dance, which reminded me of many years ago when I worked for Egg. They used to do a course that was called Dancing with Customers that talked about the fact you've got to know your own dance style and then recognize the dance style in your customer. Because I talk quite fast, so I'm probably a bit of a jazz. And imagine if I had the customer was trying to waltz, that would be really awkward unless I toned it down. So when you were thinking about moving into creating your business, how did you get started?
Well, I realized that I had a talent, but not by me realizing it. It was other people were telling me, oh, I'm seeing you do this and I'm seeing this happen and you've got a really great brand and I really like the way you do these live videos and these live streams. And I was like, really? I'm just doing it because I'm going through the motions and I'm doing it so I don't have to do 3-hour journeys across the country to sit in front of people. But it worked. People and friends and family started saying, you should turn that into a little mini business of your own. And I was super scared. I had no idea how to do anything like that. So I just went for it, did it, learned the highs, learned a few lows, got into a bit of a sticky situation where I had to kind of start all over again because my brand was taken away from me. I didn't do the right research. But here I am today on evenings and weekends working with huge firms across the pond in the States who are asking me for help with their personal branding, marketing and LinkedIn approach. So, you know, it's just something that I feel very fortunate, but I think it's took a good, you know, 25 years of learning to get there. Some people can do it in 2 months, 2 years, took me 20.
I think sometimes that's the thing, isn't it? Is success is always one step beyond failure. So, you know, you talked about having had to rebrand, having your brand taken away and almost having to start again. What did that teach you?
That taught me that, you know, you hear in news articles and magazines and these big influencers saying, you know, I failed so many times. And up until recently, I kind of thought of that, yeah, they're just saying that, you know, they're just trying to you know, sound cool. And then when that actually does happen to you, you've either got two options. You just sulk and walk away and think, oh, well, it was good while it lasted. But I'm one of these people that have thought, well, I've never had anything handed to me on a plate, so it's gone. I'll just take it back and get it back somehow.
I love it. And it's so true, isn't it? Often we can look at these things and go, yeah, I bet that bit wasn't really hard. You know, their life looks dead easy, but actually it isn't, is it? We, you know, things can go wrong, but I think it isn't the mistake that defines us. It's what we do with that mistake. So what I love is the fact that you just went, okay, well, I've done it once. I can do it again. I can do it differently. So when you set about that, so you obviously come from having lost it, and built it once. How did you go about starting again? Did you do anything differently that perhaps you hadn't done the first time?
Well, I just went back to the drawing board and I just simply thought, how can I make it better? Simple as that. It's gone. It was great. What can I make that's brilliant? And luckily, you know, it was all done within one day. I built a new website. I built the new branding. I used my graphic design skills to create the new logo and all of them. And then Making Digital Real was born. And I just thought to myself, what can I do to add more services onto this new branding? So what was once this little cool business idea that I had turned into a new brand where I could have lots of little different businesses kind of like shooting off from it.
I love it. So really started to diversify into what is it that your ultimate client is looking for? What is it, what problems or desires have they got that you could help them to solve?
Yeah, I just thought, what business name can I create? And I thought, I'll use my initials, Mike D. Roberts. So I used MDR, Making Digital Real. And I thought, because every time I have a new idea or a brainwave or lightning flash, I can say Making Digital Real with LinkedIn, with Canva, with personal branding, and you can just turn it into all sorts of things. And that's what I didn't have before. And I thought, great, everything happens for a reason. Maybe that was it.
I love it. And what I also love about that is the fact that it allows you to diversify and to continue to innovate whilst being consistent. Because one of the things that I've learned over the years and I see in a lot of organizations is where there is a lack of consistency in the story, it creates confusion in the customer, and a confused brain doesn't buy. So if you start, you're doing one thing and then all of a sudden you're doing something over here and you can't make that link for your customer, they start to think you're not really specializing in what you're doing. You're being too generalist. Have you seen that come out in what you do?
Well, what I do is very, very structured. So my Monday to Friday during working hours, I'm working with firms to help them with email encryption and e-signatures. And I love what I do because the business that I'm part of, which is Frama, they're a 50-year-old franking machine company. So that was where my history takes me back 20 years. But I wanted to help this company go into the digital sector. And by being in where I am with, you know, the likes of DocuSign and Adobe to my left and right, we didn't have a chance. So I thought, why not create something successful using my personal brand? You talk about leaders a lot. Our leader, Chris at Frama, is incredible. He understands the way I work, the way that I deal with clients. I don't wear a suit. I'm a hoodie and a jeans and Vans type of guy. And I am, if I'm in London, going to visit a client. I go against the grain in a lot of things I do, but it works because I'm me and authentically me. And, you know, word has got around that on evenings and weekends, I'm helping people just absolutely smash it on LinkedIn. And they work hand in hand. So when I'm showing people my LinkedIn profile, they're learning about the Frama business and what they stand for as well. So it just goes so great together.
I love it. And what I love most about that, and it's one of the reasons why I asked you on, is you are authentically you. You bring your whole self to everything that you do and are consistently who you are. And actually, that's probably one of the greatest skills that people can learn, is to just be themselves. And yet it's the thing that we fear the most. I don't know if you've always been the same, or you know, you said when we were chatting before that you were unemployable. Is that because of the fact that you are always authentically yourself? And that can sometimes be a challenge to comply in an organization that wants us to comply.
I've only ever had two jobs in my life which I've succeeded at. All the rest I've been great at, but I just didn't fit in because I didn't have that corporate mold. You know, I remember one job back in the day that I turned up on my first day and I was absolutely reprimanded for not wearing a tie. And I thought, this isn't going to work for me. No way. No way. I don't wear ties. It was weird that I was wearing a shirt and a suit, but ties, no way. But there's only two times in life where I've actually had a leader that's basically let me be me, do it my way, and they've seen the results. And Frama is one of them. Absolutely incredible team.
Oh, I love that. And it's so true, isn't it? As, you know, as leaders, if we can have the confidence to let our people be who they are, then actually they can bring their whole selves to work and we all end up being significantly more successful. But that can be, you know, that can be so hard to just trust that actually, do you know what, I'm just going to be who I am and I'm going to focus on getting the job done rather than focusing on trying to be who you want me to be and distracting myself from getting the job done, which is actually what often happens, isn't it? So when you think about, if you could give advice back to your younger self, what advice would that be? Firstly, around being yourself.
I suppose for me, it's no matter where you're at in your career, always know that it's never too late. Because I've always, you know, dreamt of having my own business and things like that. And it didn't really happen till I was nearly 40 years old. But throughout my 20s and 30s, you know, there were times when I just thought, this is it. This is what I'm going to be for the rest of my life, a salesperson, a door knocker, you know, and it's never too late. But what I would always suggest as well is if you do enjoy what you're doing, I've been very lucky in the fact that I landed sales as a career, but I just happen to absolutely love it. I like the thrill of the chase. I love getting the deal signed. I love knowing that I'm in charge of what my pay packet's going to be at the end of the month, you know, when I was salaried and in sales. And if you do something that you love day in, day out, then all you're going to be is successful, and crazy great things are going to happen. And with the technology that people have got today, it doesn't matter what your interests or hobbies are. You know, you could be a Batman fanatic. The social media out there that can make you turn that into a business in some way. So use it, and it's never too late.
I love that. It really is never too late. It reminds me of a Chinese proverb that was, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago, and the second best time is today. Because it is that whole, rather than saying, well, I should have before, I'll go, well, I've got today. So just do it, isn't it? Just go out there and take that step, because you never know. And a lot of the self-made millionaires started out in their 40s. So the hope thinks in pushing 50, there's hope for us all, that we can, if we just are doing what we're passionate about and we're doing it well, then actually the rest will come. It's been an absolute joy chatting to you so far about kind of where you've come from and how you're building your business. But I know also one of the things that I've loved about our conversations so far is how you get to know your connections and how you get to know your tribe, I guess, you know, finding the right people that connect with you. So what advice could you give us on how to actually build your network, build your connections in this digital age?
Well, first of all, have a great LinkedIn profile. Okay, I'll give you a couple of really good tips that I think make a great LinkedIn profile. First of all, the banner behind your profile photo. It's the biggest area of your page that people see. So as soon as someone lands on it, you've got 7 seconds to basically tell them what problem it is that you solve and who you are. So just make sure that I know instantly who Kim Adele is when I land on your profile and I see your banner. The second thing is, you know, you want to be found on LinkedIn. So with your headline, it's the biggest lead magnet that there is. Fill it with keywords, buzzwords, trigger that psychological element in my brain. So that as I'm reading your headline, you're almost giving me a little picture in my head of you solving this problem that I might have. And the other thing is with the about section, don't make it all about you. Make it about your audience who are reading it. If you land on someone's LinkedIn page today, chances are if you flick through 5 or 6 profiles, there's going to be a few there that have every sentence that begin with the word I this, we this, I. It's all about them. If you turn that round and make it all about the audience, you know, clients have been working with us since 2012 because they find themselves frustrated with this. And they find that sometimes that they struggle with this. Again, psychologically, as I'm reading this, I'm kind of nodding along thinking, yeah, this person knows my world. This person knows the struggles that I'm finding. And always start your about section with the year that we're in or the year that we're about to enter. So if I read your profile and it says, as 2022 has arrived, you know, most business owners like yourself are looking to do XYZ. That just convinces me that you are relevant, up to date. It's all about today and now. And this wasn't a profile that was created 6 years ago and never touched since. So there's just a few small changes that people can make today. But, you know, I'm using LinkedIn to find great people. Digital and Zoom is the way for me. I work so much better like this than I do in a room of 300 people in suits at a networking event. And everybody's different. That's just me. But I find great people. I know instantly whether we're going to get on well or not. And you just keep in touch. You nurture those relationships and you always make it about them. how can I help other people in my network today? Because it will always circle around and come back and help you in the end.
I love that. And it's so true, isn't it? It's like if we live our life from a position of how can I serve? How can I leave things better than I found them? Then actually it does. You know, that's the way the world works. What goes out comes back, doesn't it? Not always linearly, but it's about saying actually rather than focusing on this piece. I love those tips, and your profile is a joy to read. But I think it's that whole piece around putting yourself in the shoes, isn't it, of the people that you are trying to serve, so that they can recognize themselves in what it is that you're talking about, so that they can self-select. Because you know, the best way to sell to somebody is to have them buy from you rather than you sell to them, because actually then they're opting in, aren't they? They're saying, oh, this person gets me. They know what it's like to be me, and they've solved it for other people. So why would they not be able to solve it for me? So they're all like really, really great tips. And I love the whole, I'd not thought of that before, but the whole making sure that you're being relevant to the year, so that actually people do realize that it isn't a profile that you built 5 or 6 years ago and have done nothing else with. Because I guess we could all be a little bit guilty of that, can't we? Of not keeping it up to date and not keeping it relevant. And that it's not how you'd connect, as it were. I was having a debate with a contact on LinkedIn the other day about, you know, what your pet hates. And so one of my pet hates is when people just connect with you and then immediately send you some like really spammy sales thing where they're going to solve a problem they don't even know I have. So I'm like, would you do that if you met me in the street, if you met me at a networking event? Would you go, hi, Kim, and then immediately spam me with it? Of course you wouldn't. So why do people think that in a digital space they can do something that they wouldn't do in a face-to-face space?
Well, one of the things that I always say to people that I'm training is, you know, there's a load of digital pollution now on LinkedIn. So sending a random connection request without a personalized invite just ain't going to cut it anymore. So do a personalized invitation and just word it. The way I word it is the same every single time. And it doesn't work for everyone. But for me, it's a case of, I would say to someone, hi, David, it would be great to have you in my wealth management network here on LinkedIn. I'm part of several notable forums in the financial sector. Look forward to connecting. No selling involved, but it's very slightly personalized to his sector.
Yeah.
When he connects with me and accepts my invitation, I'll always say the same thing again. And I'll say, thanks for connecting, David. If I can share any content or make any introductions, please just let me know. I'm not telling you what I do because my profile's strong enough. I'm not asking for a virtual coffee. It's just a case of, great to have you in my network. It's over to you now, basically, to say if I can help you in any way, but please, I'd be delighted to. So let's try and make it happen. And that's how a great relationship will be nurtured on LinkedIn, instead of the whole, Insta-selling, which nobody wants.
No, well, they don't, do they? Because nobody likes to feel sold to. Because when we've been sold to, we feel a little bit duped. Whereas if we've bought from people, then that's different. Do you ever use the voice message element?
I love using the audio messages.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I really love doing, and this is quite cringy, and it took me a while to get used to it, but there's some great software applications out there to do great video messaging. So if I've connected with somebody and I really, really want to make an impact or get something back from them, or maybe it's someone who's just made an inquiry, you know, I'm going to grab my little whiteboard. I'm dealing with a lady called Delicia at the moment over in Spain. So it's literally, Delicia, thank you so much for connecting. Then I'll put my whiteboard down, because the software I use, it actually grabs the first few seconds of your video frame. So when you paste it into the message box, a GIF comes up. So now Delicia knows that that video message is for her, because I've got my little whiteboard. So I know it's going to be played.
Yeah.
And you've just got all these little things. Sending a video message might sound really simple at first, but all these little elements just basically guarantee you a reply. And I usually get something along the lines of, Mike, I've never had a video message sent to me like that before. That's incredible. And you just think, yeah, because I'm doing something that is probably going to be the norm in a few years. Yeah. And I've always been one of those people that think, what's the next big thing? I want to do it before anyone else is doing it. So for me, audio messaging is brilliant, and video messaging used at the right time is incredible.
I love that. What a great idea. Because I must admit, I use audio. Like, somebody sends me an invite and I've looked at their profile and gone, yeah, I'm going to accept that. Yeah. I always send them a voice message back to say, thanks so much for inviting me. It's really, you know, really kind, looking forward to learning more about you and your journey and how I can, you know, how I can help. And it's amazing how many people come back and go, oh, you've totally made my day. Because I didn't think you'd take the time. You know, I've invited you and yet you've been so kind to come back. And it's like, well, it's, why would I connect with you if I'm not going to try and connect with you? It's like, I'm not here to capture numbers and say, like, you know, oh, it's great because I've got this many people I'm connected with. I don't know anything about any of them. I'm having no interaction with them, because that's not the point, is it? The point is to connect with people and have a, yeah, see how you can help, even if that help is just to say, there's somebody in my network that might be able to really help you. I often tell a story of my last face-to-face networking event, my very first one after corporate life, and I was terrified, and I was sat in the car for 20 minutes talking myself into it, going, this is ridiculous, you've been doing this for years, but I had a big corporate title, so people would want to talk to you because, you know, you'd got a big company that sat behind you, and now it was just little old me. And I remember going in, and it was in an industrial estate in Sleaford, and ended up meeting this guy who lives three streets away with his wife and his daughter. And his daughter at the time had just gone into remission from a really rare bone cancer. And I was like, I don't know if it helps, I happen to be connected to Mark Woods, who's the Paralympian who lost his leg to exactly the same cancer when he was 17. Would it help if I connected you up? Because maybe him sharing his story will help give you that hope that actually it isn't going to be what defines you, it's what you do with it. And he's the most amazing guy if you get the chance to check out his profile. I remember the guy saying to me, I was like, really, you do that? I was like, it's probably what I'm here in an industrial estate in Sleaford for. It's not about what I can get from you, it's about who do I know that can help. And actually, they had a great conversation and went on to do, you know, to do some stuff for charity together, which was amazing. But I think if that's how we, and you know, you're very similar to that, aren't you? If that's how we work, which is, if I know someone who can help, of course I'm going to put you in touch with them. And likewise, hopefully, you know, if you know someone who can help me, we'll do the same. And then together we're all going to be stronger. It has been such an immense joy. I'm conscious that we're getting close to time. So if there were one thing that you would like our listeners to take away, what would it be?
One thing to take away, I would just say, I suppose putting my old LinkedIn hat back on again, is use the platform correctly. Don't be part of the 95% that are using it terribly and wrong. So just take the time to understand all the secret hidden corners and elements, understand the algorithm, come to one of my live events if you wish. My next one's in March, I do six a year. But just learn how I can get my content in front of thousands of people. It's not difficult to do. And if anyone needs any help or advice or just a quick 5-minute chat, I'd love to help.
Oh, fantastic. So, Mike, how can they get in touch with you? I will make sure that we drop in the chat. In fact, I'll do that now. So if people see me starting to look away, it's because I'm just going to go and grab Mike's LinkedIn so that we can put you straight in there. But how else could people get in touch with you?
Yeah, connect with me on there. All my contact details are on there as well. If you're interested in what I do for Frama, the website is frama.co.uk. And then my website is Mike D. Roberts. That's D for David in the middle, mikedroberts.co.uk.
Brilliant. Mike, thank you so, so very much. You packed full of value as always, and a real epitome of authenticism and being yourself. So thank you so much for joining me on my very first episode of Authentic Achievements and adding such amazing value. And thanks everybody for watching. Our next guest is Michael Tobin, so hopefully you will join us for that. And in the interim, have an amazing week. Take care. And
thank you.
You and I will hopefully continue our chat.